Welcome back to the Draft Lab. I'm Joel Worth, and this is the IDP Plus Best Ball Show. This week, we're going to talk about why right now is the best time to optimize your exposures in your portfolio. And we're going to take a look inside my portfolio, give a little bit of an update. I've been talking about the players that I have a lot of exposure to. This week, we're going to talk about which players I don't have enough exposure to, the holes in my portfolio that I'm either going to want to fix or maybe I'm okay with those holes. So we'll take a look at that. So let's talk about the NFL news cycle. So why is right now the best time to optimize your exposures? So free agency is over. The draft is over. We've got one big thing coming up, and that's the schedule release this week. So after that, we'll be able to, we'll kind of change the way we draft, but now we're not going to change who we draft, right? So we're going to have a better idea of what kind of stacks we want to look at, what bringbacks we want to look at, the playoff schedules. So that's going to affect how we build our teams, but it shouldn't affect the player values too much individually. You may have, a few teams that have, you look at it and you see a really bad playoff schedule, like a dome team, like say Atlanta has to play like two of their playoff games in a cold weather environment or something like that. And then something that looks like a really attractive stack right now may not look so much after Wednesday, after the schedule's released. So you may see a little bit of a player ADP change, but it probably won't be too significant. So that's the big thing that's on the horizon. Then you've also got OTAs, but OTAs are, let's be honest, OTAs are more noise than news, right? You're going to hear a lot of coach speak. You're going to hear a lot of best shape of our life. I'm happy to be able to practice and not be injured, not be recovering, not be rehabbing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of that should really shift your focus or your valuation of an individual player, right? It's just more noise than it is news. So that'll go on for about a month or so. And then you can have basically a month and a half of just dead time, right? There's just nothing happening until training camps open basically at the end of July. So you just kind of, after the schedule, there's really no events that should change a player's ADP based on their performance or their outlook. But there is going to be something that changes ADP externally. And that's around maybe about a month from now, month and a half, six weeks from now, you're getting an influx of new drafters. And these are going to be not the degenerates like us who are drafting in April, May, March. These are going to be the new drafters. They're going to be coming in for all kinds of different reasons, whether it's to escape the dead time, like, it's a dead time in the calendar and they want to, they want to get back to football. So they want to start doing some best ball drafts. Lottery ticket players, like, hey, let's do a couple best balls and see if I can win best ball mania. I'm going to do a couple entries and just see if one hits. Home league practicers. I've got my drafts coming up. I want to start, I've been out of the loop. I want to start getting some reps in. So these are players who are going to come in and they are, they're not going to have the exposure to the player ADPs that, the people like us who are drafting in April have, or April and May have. So it's going to change how players get drafted. It's going to kind of artificially change a player's ADP for no performance-based or outlook-based reasons. So you're going to have basically a lot of best player available focused drafting. You're going to have less, stack-based, less strategic-based drafting, like zero RB or bully tight end, stuff like that. It's going to be more focused on just best player available drafting. So what's going to happen then is there's going to be a fallback on familiar names. Better names like Devontae Adams, something like that, may get pushed up. Like Mike Evans may get pushed up. You're going to see running backs get pushed up. You're going to see quarterbacks get pushed up. Like you may start all of a sudden start to see Patrick Mahomes move into like the second round, Josh Allen move into the second round. So these are things again, that are going to change an ADP for no performance-based reason. So these are things that we want to be able to take advantage of when we get to there, when we get to that point. So we want to be drafting optimally at that point. When the season starts, when we get to training camps and stuff like that, where the news to noise ratio kind of levels out a little bit, we want to be able to draft optimally because we want to be able to react to actual news. We want to be able to fade the noise. We want to be able to react to the real news. So once those things happen, once you get to, you know, the middle of June, maybe late June, and things start to change a little bit, that's when we want to be drafting optimally. So that's why now is the time where we want to be fixing our exposures, right? So we don't want to be working, saying, okay, I don't have enough Davante Adams in, you know, July, when his ADP is getting pushed up by the best player available drafters, the familiar player drafters. We want to be taking care of those exposures now so that we don't have to kind of fix those holes in our portfolio later at higher ADP prices that we don't necessarily want to pay. So that's why right now is when we should be trying to kind of maximize our exposures, optimize our portfolios to get the players that we want, and then be able to kind of go into that later portion of the draft process and be able to draft optimally and just react to the changes in ADP that are artificial, react to the news that may or may not be artificial. You know, we believe, but we'll be able to make those decisions on our own, and we will be able to react to them appropriately. So let's talk about my portfolio and what's happening to it, and some holes that I want to fix, right? Obviously, I took some time off, went to Vegas a couple weeks ago, had to miss some time. Basically, I missed about 10 days worth of drafting because prep for the trip, being on the trip, coming back and kind of fixing everything that didn't get taken care of while I was gone. So now I'm trying to catch up, right? I'm trying to catch up, make those drafts up that I missed. So I've got about 30 drafts in so far, and I'm pretty happy with my exposures, but there's a few holes that I may want to address. Now, one thing it can really affect your exposures is when you have a relatively small 30 drafts may not be small to some people, but to some people, maybe, right? If you're only going to be doing 50, then 30 is a lot of drafts. It is where you draft. And let's put this up here, right here. This is a chart of where my drafts have fallen. And you'll see that number one all by itself with no bar. That's because I've had zero number one picks in all my 30 drafts. That's, you know, a little unusual. It's, you know, not unheard of, not impossible. That's the law of small numbers, I guess. Not terribly shocking, but a little surprising. But you'll see that my draft position is heavily skewed toward the back half of the draft. 20 of my 30 drafts have come from position 7 or later. Now, that's not a terrible thing, right? Because I think there's probably around 15, 16 players that I really like in this draft this year. And being in the back half, being in that 9, 10, 11, 12, lets you kind of double tap those top players and get two of them. So I don't hate being in the back half of the draft. I don't want to be in the back half of the draft all the time, right? Obviously, it prevents my exposures to the high-end players, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, the guys who are going 1, 2, 3. I just don't have a lot of exposure to those guys. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's just a function of I haven't had many drafts where I've been able to get to those players. Like, I've had 5 total drafts within the top 4 picks. So, and that also kind of affects the second tier of players, the second round, where, you know, those players at 21, 22, 23, 24, the back half of the second, early third round, I don't have, if I'm drafting in the back half of the draft all the time, I don't have access to those players without really reaching or hoping that one of them falls. And that's, you know, that's not going to happen all that often. So, and I don't want to reach, right? I don't want to waste I don't want to waste draft value, especially that high. A second round pick is very valuable. I don't want to be reaching for that. You know, I don't want to be reaching for a 22nd ranked player, a player with a 22 ADP with a number 15 pick. That's just giving away value. So that my draft positions in and of itself are kind of creating some holes. And you'll see that when we kind of talk about these players going forward. It's just, you know, it's the way it is, and it will even out eventually. But right now, it's put me in a position where there's just some players I don't have a lot of exposure to that I want to. So let's talk about who those players are. First of all, Christian McCaffrey, right? He's going with an ADP of 1.2. He's either the one or the two, right? Almost every draft. So if I don't have any ones, I only get a couple twos overall, I just don't have access to him. So right now I have very little exposure, and that's causing me a little bit of stress, right? He was the best player last year, expect him to be very good this year. I'm not happy. And we talked about earlier, it becomes kind of a self-reinforcing loop, in that if you have players like me who don't have exposure to Christian McCaffrey, when those players get those one and two picks, they almost have to fall into drafting Christian McCaffrey just because they want to get exposures to him. So it just becomes a self-reinforcing loop. So, again, we'll get there eventually. I have faith that my draft numbers will kind of even out. But right now it's a little bit frustrating. The next group of couple players are kind of similar, similar ADPs, and similar reasons for kind of fading them. Again, they're kind of in that zone where I haven't had a whole lot of access to Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor. Again, being a primarily zero RB or wide receiver heavy kind of drafter, those aren't really players I'm going to be super searching out. I want to have some exposure to them. But right now, their ADPs are just too rich for me. Saquon's at 15.1, Jonathan Taylor's at 15.7. So that's, you know, fairly early in the second round. That's like the third or fourth pick of the second round. I haven't actually seen them go that early lately. I think they're falling a little bit. Seen a lot of Chris Olave, kind of a lot of Drake London going in those spots. So I think they're falling down into that area that kind of that's pushed on the backside of where I've been drafting. Kind of thinking that. Here's where I'm torn a little bit, in that I think in the time between now and when the influx of drafters comes, that ADP is going to rise a little bit, going to get pushed toward 20. And that's when those picks will be a little bit more palatable to me. But then I think once that influx of new drafters comes in, again, they're going to be looking at running backs. They're going to be looking at established known commodity players. And then I think it'll be kind of pushed back up again. So I think if I want to get exposure to those guys, now is the window that I kind of need to do it. So I, you know, we'll see. I may need to force a couple drafts with them. I don't have a great feeling about either one of them. Obviously, Saquon Barkley's in a better team context with the Eagles than he was with the Giants. It's a team that's going to score more, but I don't necessarily know that he's going to be the one doing the scoring, right? You've got a passing game that is dominated by A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. You've got a tertiary option like Dallas Goedert. So I don't know how much work he's going to get done in the passing game. DeAndre Swift didn't do much last year in the passing game in Philly. And then you've got a default goal line back in Jalen Hurts. Like, they're not going to go away from the tush push. It works for them. They're not going to go away from that. So I don't know that he's going to get goal line touches either. Yeah, he's on a team that's going to score more, but I don't necessarily know that it's going to be good for him. So like that ADP right now is just too rich for me. Again, zero RB guy, so it's not someone I'm really looking at right away. Jonathan Taylor, I'm really concerned about the injuries. It just kind of hampered him the last couple of years. So I'm not sure. He's, you know, not the youngest of guys anymore. So I'm not sure that he's someone I want to be super targeting. Again, if the ADP moves up into the low 20s, kind of where, you know, or kind of the back end of the second round where Devon Achane and Kyren Williams are now, then I'll be more interested. And I definitely, like, he's a guy who can, he's shown, like, a couple years ago, he was the number one RB, maybe the number one non-quarterback in Dynasty, at least, number one overall draft pick in redraft. So he's got the ability to kind of break fantasy, right? He's got that talent level. He's got the situation. So I want to get some shares. I want to get some exposure. But, again, right now that ADP is just a little bit too rich for me. One guy that I'm really kind of concerned about missing out on is Davante Adams. I have zero shares right now. His ADP is 19.2. So, again, that's a draft position that I just, when I'm drafting at the back half of the first round, just I don't have access to without really reaching. I've got, you know, I would have to reach, take him above, say, a Marvin Harrison in the pre-draft process, a Chris Olave, Drake London, guys like that. And I just don't want to do that. I think those guys have more security, less likely to kind of blow up because Adams is over 30 now. But, man, the guy has put up the last couple of years, just put up just monster playoff performances. So I want to have access to some of those on some of my teams. So that is one player that I'm going to be making a conscious effort to kind of try and get more shares of, especially now, right now, before the influx of new drafters comes in. I want to be able to get more of him. And get two players with similar ADPs, again, veteran receivers that I'm kind of, that I have zero exposure on, but for different reasons. One is Mike Evans. Mike Evans is at 24.4, just hasn't worked out, right? I want shares of Mike Evans. There's no question about that. It just hasn't worked out. Just haven't gotten him at that. There's always been someone else when I've had picks in that position, in that area, there's just been someone else has fallen. Haven't been that many drafts, right? Based on that chart that I showed, I just haven't had that a lot of drafts where I'm picking in that 23 through 25 region. But someone that I'm going to want to get more access to. The other one is Stephon Diggs, who is at 25.8 for an ADP. That ADP is just way, way too rich for me. He's 29 now. He's getting up there. Has really just completely faded in the playoffs the last 2 years. So that's a concern. His ability to kind of get through a season, you know, hasn't been hurt that we know of, but just hasn't produced in the playoffs. And that's a real concern. And now he's changing teams, which is always, you know, always kind of questionable. You're going to a new town, you're going to a new situation, can sometimes lead to down years. And a much more crowded receiver room, right? He's going from a place where he was the unquestioned alpha, like ahead of Gabe Davis, playing with Josh Allen. C.J. Stroud is not chopped liver, obviously, a very good player. But now you've got Nico Collins, you've got Tank Dell, you've got Dalton Schultz, you've got Joe Mixon in the running game. So it's just a much more varied offense where he is not going to be the focal point. So that ADP is a real concern, just not something I really want to be buying into. If it starts to fall, and it's held steady, right? I've expected that ADP to come down into the low 30s, but it just hasn't. So I don't know if it's muscle memory with him or if people like the new, you know, maybe people like, I think he's in a better offense. I don't happen to, so... very concerned about that. If that ADP falls into the low 30s, then I'll start to try and get a few shares. But right now, like, I like Tank Dell in the fourth much more than I like Stephon Diggs in the late second, early third. So someone I'm not hanging on to right now. The next one is Josh Jacobs. I got my first Josh Jacobs shared the other day in a way that I kind of didn't want to. Again, let's talk about the way the drafts are going down right now. Whether it's kind of zero RB proper or zero RB adjacent or just whether it's intentional or not, there's a lot of wide receiver heavy drafters right now, and there are obviously a lot of wide receiver heavy drafts. So it makes it very challenging to go with two running backs in the first four picks, because then you're basically boxing. You have to be able to get wide receivers in that, you know, before they kind of lock out. That if you look at where the drafts are going, the kind of back end of kind of reliable guys is around pick 80 overall, 80, 85, where, you know, Jackson Smith-Njigba, Deontay Johnson, Christian Watson, maybe Cortland Sutton, depending on how you feel about him. Where those guys go, that's kind of the end of the run. That's where the – after that, it's kind of really murky. So if you take two running backs, like Josh Jacobs' ADP is 36.9, so 37. So basically the very start of the fourth round. So if you take like a Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, if you take one of those guys in the first round, or if you take like Kyren Williams, if you say you get a Kyren Williams at a good value in the second round, if you come back and get Josh Jacobs in the fourth, now you're really kind of behind the eight ball with quarterbacks and tight ends, because if you take a quarterback or tight end there, you know, in that 5-6 area, now you're really boxing yourself out a wide receiver, and you're kind of really stressing your lineup build. And just because there are so many wide receiver heavy drafts that you can really get kind of locked out. And if you don't take a tight end before like the end of the fifth, like kind of Kyle Pitts is that kind of back end guy that I'm okay with as my lead tight end. In most cases, he's going at 60 overall, which is the end of the fifth round. So if you don't get that there, now you're into that next tier of Evan Ingram, George Kittle, Dalton Schultz, David Njoku, Brock Bowers. So it really stresses your lineup taking two running backs in those first four picks. So Josh Jacobs is a guy that I really don't like. I like the opportunity in Green Bay. I think he's going to bounce back. I think he's going to be better than he was in Las Vegas last year. But it's just the situation and where his ADP is and just the way drafts are going down right now that I don't want to take him there, because – and it's kind of the same with Derrick Henry, right? And I think Derrick Henry is going to have a fantastic season in Baltimore. Another guy that could just break fantasy playing with Lamar Jackson. I'm just really concerned about, you know, how many running backs I'm getting in the first kind of 40 picks overall, the first three and a half rounds. So if I get a Christian McCaffrey, a Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, guys like that, then I don't feel comfortable taking a second running back in that area. I want to be kind of either getting my tight end there and starting. I'm doing a lot of kind of back-to-back elite tight ends, kind of packaging like a Trey McBride with a Dalton Kincaid or a Trey McBride with a Mark Andrews, something like that. Or Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews. I really like getting back-to-back elite tight ends and then just ignoring tight end the rest of the draft. That's been something I've really been doing quite a bit of. So it just doesn't leave room for those kind of – and like Travis Etienne's in that same group, Rashad White. I just don't feel comfortable at those ADPs. Again, this is a case where once that – you know, those new drafters come in, now it may push Josh Jacobs up. It may push Derrick Henry up a little bit, but it may create a scenario where there's less wide receiver heavy builds. And you kind of, which pushes the back half of the back end of that wide receiver run, the back half of the acceptable wide receivers to an ADP that makes me more comfortable taking a second running back early. So I think that's going to be an opportunity to kind of flesh out those running back exposures. Even though it may be a little bit higher ADP, it may be a better situation for taking those guys there. So, that's something that is going to be interesting to see. Again, if I don't get a running back early, I'm not sure that Josh Jacobs or, you know, the Derrick Henry types are the ones that I want to start with. I want to just jam wide receivers because I want to be making a real difference between myself and the other wide receiver heavy builds. So I still don't know, even if I don't get one of those running backs early, if I want to take that second tier of running. I don't think he's a dead zone running back. I don't think he's going to be disappointing. I just don't know how – I don't know that I'm going to like my build if I'm taking guys like that at their ADP. So real quick, I want to talk about the IDP Plus rookie draft guide. It is available right now for $9.99. For a limited time. It is updated entirely with landing spots, with draft capital for all the every fantasy relevant rookie. You can get it now. Check out the link in the show description and download your copy today. So that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to do a full schedule breakdown. Wednesday, the 15th, we get the schedule. So next week, we're going to talk about what teams have good playoff matchups, good playoff spreads, which team we're going to target for spreads, which team we're going to target for bringbacks. So we'll look forward to that. That should be a fun show. So until then, good luck in those best ball streets, and we will see you next time.